But we are still in the new year. And this is the year of the monkey. We had said goodbye to the year of the goat last year. And a few days ago, or a couple of weeks ago, we bade welcome to the year of the monkey. Now, I had been studying this series of the Chinese New Year animals with the various assemblies for a long time already. And this year the monkey was no different. I started with Butterworth on the 1st January, went on to Burma Road Gospel Hall on 7th, and then, of course, Chinese New Year fell on the 8th, and after that, I continued with Island Grace Gospel Center, and then Sungai Ara Gospel Hall last week. And today, I'm at Bukit Mentajam Gospel Center, and you're the last one. And after that, I can have a good rest and go on to a new series of studies. So, this is the year of the monkey. Now, last year was the year of the ram, I was here also. Those people who were born in the year 1920, 1932, 44, 56, 68, 18, 92, and 4, 2004, cycles of 12 would be monkeys. So if I should ask any one of you to put up your hand if you are a monkey, I will know your age already. And with respect to the sisters, I think I should refrain from asking you whether you are a monkey or not. So, if you have children who are going to be born this year, they are going to be monkeys, at least up to January 27th, 2017, they will all be monkeys. Now, next year, after January 28th, you have the year of the rooster. You'll note that the year of the rooster is coming in quite early. Next year, it will be January 28th, no more in February. And it's not surprising because the rooster always wakes us up early so that we can welcome the dawn. Now, someone will be maybe asking me, why am I studying all these animals? Especially so when these animals, which are connected to zodiac and used by astrology. Am I right to use all these animals? I want to emphasize from the very beginning that although I use these animals connected with Chinese New Year, and although astrology uses these animals to tell fortunes, and the Bible forbids it, as we are going to see afterwards, it is also a fact that astronomy uses the zodiac. And we find that this zodiac actually is a circle of life, or as some people call, and it's divided in 12 sectors in relation to the various constellations and stars in connection with the sun and moon. Now, these sectors are given signs of animals. And I began actually studying these animals not from the astrological point of view, because that is wrong, as I'm going to prove to you later on, but from the biblical point of view. In other words, what I was doing was to take an animal, the animal of that Chinese New Year, and study it from the Bible. What has the Bible to say about that animal? It's a very great challenge indeed. I started in the year of the pig, as far back as in 1983. Now that would be 33 years ago already. I have been studying every animal in the zodiac every year without fail. And of course, there were certain years when these animals became a real challenge to me. For example, where do you find in the Bible the tiger? So when it came to the year of the tiger, I was in difficulty. And for all that matters, what about this year's monkey? I ask you afterwards. Some of you may be conversant more with the English version of the zodiac. Never mind. I don't think I'm going to make a study of that in the future, because I'm going to complete my study of the Chinese New Year animals, I think, in 2 years' time, and I think after that, I'll have a rest. Now, astrology makes use of these signs of the animals to tell fortunes of people born in that particular year. For example, concerning the monkey people, they say that these people are witty, intelligent, have a magnetic personality. Personality traits like mischievousness, generosity, and cleverness make them very naughty. Though they don't have any bad intentions, their prank sometimes hurt the feelings of others. Monkeys are fast learners and crafty opportunists. They have many interests and need partners who are capable of stimulating them. While some like the eccentric nature of monkeys, some don't trust their sly, restless, and inquisitive nature. They are clever, creative monkeys, but can't always exhibit their talents properly. Monkeys like to take challenges, and they prefer urban life to rural. Is this true of you, those of you who are monkeys? I'm not sure. For all you know, this is also true of many other people who are not monkeys. So you see, it's not true. All these things are not true. And yet many, even Christians, wake up early in the morning, read up in the newspaper what the stars foretell. And then, instead of reading their Bible, they look at what the stars foretell for the day. Well, what does the Bible say? Deuteronomy chapter 18, 9 to 14. When you enter the land, the Lord warned Israel when they were about to conquer the Canaan, when they would enter the land, they must not follow the detestable customs of those nations. Because they told fortunes, they consulted mediums, and so on. All these were detestable to the Lord. And the Lord says, though these nations you are about to drive out, listen to fortune tellers and divinings, and in our current time, perhaps astrology, what the stars foretell, feng shui, these are the things the Lord, your God, has not permitted you to do this. So we must be aware. So in my study of the animals of Chinese New Year, they have nothing to do with astrology. They have everything to do with what the Bible teaches about that animal. So let's start. Monkey. Let us introduce the monkey first. First, we note that the monkey is a mammal. And as a mammal, it's a primate. For example, monkeys, chimpanzee, baboon, apes, etc. All these belong to the monkey family. Orangutan and gorillas and so on. But sometimes when we say monkey, we need not have to refer to an animal in particular. Figuratively, we may also refer to a person. And because that person looks like a monkey, behaves like a monkey, well, we call it a monkey. For example, if the person looks like a monkey, well, we may call him like a monkey. But he is not a monkey, please. He's not a monkey. He behaves like a monkey. He looks like a monkey. And, well, in every way, he is like a monkey, but he is not a monkey. I remember when I was a small boy, in the Japanese occupied during the time of the Japanese occupation in Malaysia, my uncle always called me a monkey. The nickname for me was Maru in Japanese. Maru, monkey. Because I behaved like a monkey. Could not sit still, mischievous, jumped up here and there, just like that little girl there. So, but it does not mean that I'm a monkey. I behave like a monkey. And I like to stress this because in my past studies with the other assemblies, two or three were a bit insulted. They said, Mr. Ang called them monkeys. No, no, I don't call you monkeys. I don't say you are monkeys. But I say that if you behave like a monkey, then figuratively you are a monkey. But in actuality, you are not a monkey, okay? Please don't get me wrong, and I do not want this misunderstanding again. You see, this is not surprising, because even in the Bible, Isaiah 53 verse 6, we find that people are called sheep. They are animals. All we like sheep have gone astray. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53 verse 7, as a lamb is led before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So, it does not mean that these are animals, but they behave as such. For example, also in Matthew 7, 6, give not holy things to the dogs, or cast not pearls before swine. These people are not animals, but they behave like animals when they do not value the things that are spiritual. Alright, the monkey features very much and prominently in many religions. For example, in Buddhism and Taoism, you have heard of the monkey god. Alright, and I think two Sundays ago, the feature, The Journey to the West, was telecast on TV. When I was a small boy, I knew this story very well, The Journey to the West of the monkey god. He was introduced to me in Hokkien as Kau Tei Tan. And I still remember the times when I was taken to Hutton Lane in Penang to a small little temple there, and then I worshipped Kau Tei Tan. I was the follower of a monkey god. Well, so monkeys play a very important part in religion. Then we have also in Hinduism, we have got Hanuman, the monkey god, in the Ramayana novels and so on. And we also have in paganism, in Egypt, you have got Thoth, the wisest of Egyptian gods, supposed to be. Well, the monkey, therefore, plays a very important part in the various religions. Now, what does the Bible have to say about these monkeys that play a very important part in religions? Romans 1:12, 1:21-23. Though they knew God, they still not glorified Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and what did they do? They changed the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. And God is definitely against such. So, we are not to worship all these. God must be worshipped as God, and God must not be changed into in images resembling all these reptiles, these creatures of His, even men included. Right, now come to the actual part of our study, the monkey in the Bible. I noticed that some of you are taking down notes. May I just say this? You will be too slow in taking down the notes because I'm too fast with the screening of the slides. All these notes and this PowerPoint and what I say, you can all get it from my website. I'll give you the URL afterwards. So just relax and listen and enjoy what I have to teach you about the monkey in the Bible. You don't have to stress yourself in taking down notes. Alright, the monkey in the Bible. Is there a monkey in the Bible? I wonder whether any one of you knows whether there is a monkey in the Bible. Give me the book, the chapter and the verse. Is there a monkey in the Bible? None. So let's close shop, let's go home. Because I have nothing more to study. What can I say? Alright, now if you study, if you know your Bible well enough, now this is what I mean when I have to face challenges in the study of the animals in Chinese New Year. Alright. First, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 10, 22. If you're interested and you want to find out the monkey in the Bible, you can find it. 1 Kings 10, 22. Alright. King Solomon had ships of Tarshish at sea with Hiram's fleet. And once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish would arrive bearing gold, silver, ivory, apes and peacocks. Apes are monkeys. they are primates belonging to the monkey family. So apes are there. All right. Peacocks. Ah, what is peacock to do with monkeys? I'll explain later on. You have a parallel verse in Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 21. The king's ships kept going to Tarshish with Hiram's servants, and once every 3 years the ships of Tarshish would arrive here bearing gold, silver, ivory, apes and peacocks. Alright, apes are members of the monkey family. Peacocks, you'll see. There are only two references in the Bible, if at all possible, to monkeys. And they are the ones I referred them to just now. First, the monkey in the ape. I said the ape is a monkey because it belongs to the monkey family. It is from a Hebrew word, kof. Etymologically, kof may not be Hebrew, but derived from a Sanskrit, which means swift, nimble, active, or from the Greek word kipos, long-tailed monkey. Therefore, it's likely that the apes there can be monkeys or baboons, because no apes have been found in Palestine. Alright? So there may be baboons, actually. Baboons were also well known in Egypt. The god Thoth, as I pointed out just now, had a baboon face. Geographically, we find that ships were sent by Solomon to go to Tarshish to find monkeys. Now, where was Tarshish? We are not sure. It could be in Spain, or it could be in the Malabar Coast in India, or in Ceylon, or it may be just a term for the West, and you read of it when Jonah ran away from God and went to Tarshish. Or even from Ethiopia. So we do not know where Tarshish actually was at that time. But the thing we know would be that Tarshish was a distant place from where Solomon was, so that it took the ships 3 years to go to and return. Now, peacock. The baboon in the peacock. The word peacock in Hebrew is tukiyim. Tukiyim, etymologically, is a Hebrew term similar to the Egyptian word for monkey, and is found in expeditions to Somaliland. It may be a reference to the old world monkeys from East Africa. Alright, and those of you who are using NIV would have found that out much, much earlier, because NIV would have translated peacock as monkeys or baboons. Once every 3 years, it returned carrying gold, silver and ivory, and apes and baboons. That's NIV. So there you are, monkeys in the Bible. There are monkeys. And historically, monkeys were even given as tributes to the Assyrian king. So it's a fact that there were monkeys given to King Solomon. Now, because of that, we need to study more about these monkeys who were given as gifts to a monarch or to King Solomon. Note number one, the monkeys were periodic gifts. This is our Bible study now. Alright? The monkeys were periodic gifts. They were given every 3 years to King Solomon. The search for live monkeys. King Solomon sent out his navies, together with those of Hiram, to search for monkeys in Tarshish. Every 3 years they will come back to bring him all these monkeys. We remind ourselves of Jesus. Jesus was greater than Solomon. Matthew 12:42. Behold, one who is greater than Solomon is here. And he also is searching for monkeys. But by that I mean sinners. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, when I say the Lord Jesus Christ searching for live monkeys, I do not mean that the lost sinners are monkeys. Again, I'm speaking figuratively. that just as Solomon searched for live monkeys, Jesus, one greater than Solomon, is searching for lost sinners. And he also said in his last words before he left this earth to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world, far, far away, as Solomon said to his navies, go ye into Tarshish, far, far away, and search for monkeys." And the Lord also said this to his disciples, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And this was only given to his disciples, but to all those who would follow him later on, as we read in Acts 1:8, that "you shall be witnesses to me, first in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and in Judah, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So go to Tarshish, search for live monkeys, search for lost sinners. That is the lesson that we should be learning from this study of the monkeys. The strategy to search for live monkeys. Solomon had a plan. And the challenge to us in this year of monkey is that the assembly should have a plan. A plan to search for lost sinners. If we do not have a plan and you just hope for lost sinners to come in, I think very few will come in and our numbers will go down and down. So we need to go out. We need to have a plan. Perhaps form a committee to look into it. Set up a navy as King Solomon did, so that we can have these people to plan out how we could go out to win others to the Lord. If we do not have enough people, perhaps we can ally ourselves to others. Now, I see Bukit Mertajam. Bukit Mertajam perhaps can cooperate with Butterworth Gospel Hall. And I'm so happy to see that they are doing so in the conduct of tuition classes for the teaching of English and so on. That's a good project. And through this, perhaps, it is hoped that other people may come to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's have a name. Today, very sadly speaking, most of the assemblies, or even all, if not only one, has a gospel meeting on a Sunday. And that will be Bumrungrad Gospel Hall. And the Bumrungrad Gospel Hall has given an invitation that all those assemblies that have no gospel meetings on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, if you want to bring friends to come and listen to the gospel, then bring them and join them on the first Sunday of every month. So form an alliance with Hirim, Snavy. They have the experience, they have the people, join them, join up with them, and then bring in lost souls. Now, not only the navies are involved, we find that the whole nation and the kingdom of Solomon was involved. Every one of them, we read in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 25, they did not go out, but they brought their resources. They brought gifts of gold, vessels of gold, armor, their resources of rice, and so on. Make sure that the navies were well supplied. And so every individual should be involved in the witness to other people, to the lost souls, that they may be one to the Lord. It's not left to only a few. Every member should be involved. Look at the sacrifice for the search. They give the money, they give the gold. And those of us who cannot give, who cannot go, learn to give, so that those who go are provided for. Now, this is found in the teaching of how the Macedonian Christians gave to the poor in Jerusalem. We shall study more about that later on. So, the monkeys were periodic gifts. The monkeys were peculiar but precious gifts. No, why should the monkeys be specially mentioned in the list of gifts that were brought in back from Tarshish? They were very particular. They were special. They were peculiar. Just like all of us. Before coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, we were all strange gifts to the King, Jesus. We were, for example, aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. Ephesians 2:12. We were, for example, strangers from the covenants of promise. All right? Strange gifts. But then later on, we became a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people unto God. And that's what we are today. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Peculiar, strange, but we are gifts treasured by the King. So, they were strange gifts. They were special gifts to the King. The search for them took two navies, 3 years, involving a lot of sacrifice. They sacrificed just as the Macedonian Christians sacrificed for the poor in Jerusalem. Let's compare. With regard to the Christians in Macedonia, they gave with overflowing joy. They gave in their extreme poverty. They gave with great generosity. They gave with all their strength and ability. And they even pleaded, "Please take what we have. We may have only a little. Please take what we have," to Paul and his companions. "Take it with you and give to the poor in Jerusalem." Now this is the spirit. But first of all, they gave of themselves to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 8:5. Now this is the spirit of giving. This is the spirit of supporting. Those of us who do not go out into Tarshish to search for these lost sinners, we stay back, we give. We may not be missionaries going out, but we still may be those with a mission and a vision to support all those missionaries who go out. Alright, what have we done so far? We have done the study of the monkey, the mammal, the monkey in mythology, the monkeys in the Bible, the monkeys as gifts to the monarch, and now we come on to the monkeys who are periodic gifts, monkeys who are peculiar but precious gifts, and lastly, the monkeys were part of other gifts. These monkeys were included in other gifts that were given. What other gifts were there that were brought from Tarshish to King Solomon? "For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once every 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver and ivory." Gold, silver, ivory. Three other gifts. Right. Gold. Now, gold would be the best gift that we can ever give the king. Alright? And that's what the people did. The people who remained behind, they gave their gold to the king. Every year, how much did they give? So much that Solomon could use the gold to make his vessels of furniture in the palace and so on. 666 talents of gold, 25 ton. Can you imagine that? It's found in verse 14. Consider the words used of the gold. The gold that was given him was not just simple gold that people did not want anymore. They were beaten gold, and he used it for 500 shields, 2,525 pounds of gold. The best gold for his throne. He used this gold for the throne that he was going to sit on. Verses 18 to 20. Pure gold for the vessels that he used. Now, let's see this gold that was used for his throne. That was his throne. What it looked like. His throne was made of ivory overlaid with gold. And there were 6 steps leading to the throne. And there were the lions beside. Now, definitely, Solomon was well provided for. Where did he get the money from? Where did he get the gold from? Taxes. He taxed the people, those who were in his kingdom. You can be sure it was not at that time GST. He also got his money from tributes, from tolls. Merchant ships were passing through his kingdom. He exercise tolls on them, you can be sure that these tolls were not given to special concessionaires where they would decide whether to raise the tolls or not. And there were tributes even from Arabian kings and the kings around in his kingdom. They were given to him. As well, you may say donations. But still, all these were provided for, whether donations or GST or tolls, they were all provided for and accounted for. That's why he could give you the figures. That was King Solomon. This was all given to him every single year by the people. Silver, he had plenty. So much so that it said that the silver was considered of little value. When the people brought to him silver, he did not want to use it. In verse 22 and verse 25, we read that the silver was so much, it was like stones on the road. And he gave back to the people. He did not use it for himself. Alright? So, at least, he did not use it for his own chariot or for his own other furniture in the palace, but he gave it back to the Ra'iyah. Now, consider therefore Solomon's search for silver and gold. He sent the ships to Tarshish to search for silver and gold when he had so much silver and gold already, so much silver that the silver was of no importance to him even in the land. And yet, why did he still send the ships out to Tarshish to search for silver and gold? Why? One commentator had this to ask. Why did Solomon need 500 shields that required 2,525 pounds of gold to make? Why did he need an ivory throne overlaid with gold? Why must he and his guests drink only from golden vessels? To what purpose were the thousands of horses and chariots be assembled? Why did he need 700 wives and 300 concubines for a king to have four wives? It's a big headache already. But to have 700 wives and 300 concubines. And we read in chapter 11 that it was the wives, unbelieving wives, foreigners, that led him away from God. And that's how he fell later on in his life. So in pursuing each of these goals, Solomon disobeyed the word of God. What did the word of God say in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 to 20, with regard to kings? Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. He should not. He had so much gold, so much silver. Why send the ships to search for some more silver and gold? Ivory. Third thing. Ivory was very special. Alright, what did he use it for? He used it for his throne, overlaying it with gold. Alright, later on, another king, Ahab, used the same thing. He made his whole palace of ivory inlaid with gold. That was how the king later on abused the ivory. He did it because of arrogance, opulence, he wanted to show off, and of course, in disobedience. Amos chapter 3, verse 15 had this to say about this palace of ivory. During the digging, the archaeological digging of Harvard University in the place, they found Ahab and Jezebel's white house, known as the Ivory House in 1 Kings 22:39. And Amos 3:15 says, I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish. The palaces were made of ivory. Today, if you go to Samaria, you can still see the ruins of Ahab's house. So, it was a fact. Now, there were gifts given to the king regularly every year by the people in the nation. Look at the principles and the practices they used in giving the money. 1 Kings 10:25, compare it with 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. They gave it year by year. And to us, 1 Corinthians 16, we need to give it every first day of the week. They gave every man. To us, let every one of you. They gave with a purpose. They brought every man whatever they wanted to give. And 1 Corinthians 16 says, let every man lay by him. He must have a purpose. They gave as what they wanted to give him. And they have purposed it. And we should put it aside for the Lord's work. The proportion, they gave a certain amount to us as God had prospered him. So, to us comes the responsibility that the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God had prospered him to give to the work of the Lord. Finally, the mistakes made by the monkey's monarch. At the very beginning of his life, when he became king, God asked him, Solomon, what do you want? I do not want anything else except wisdom. Give me wisdom to govern the country well and in righteousness. God said, good. You have not asked for wealth. You have not asked for anything else. You have asked for wisdom. I will add on to what you ask, wealth. I will give you wealth. I will give you long life, health as well. So, he started well. How did he end? He ended by making mistakes of multiplication. As a monarch, he was not to multiply, as we read in just now in Deuteronomy. Not multiply horses, but he went, and he went to Egypt, and he got horses from there. Not about multiplying wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Not to multiply silver and gold. He sent the ships to go for silver and gold. And so we find that he disobeyed God at the end of his life, so that at the end of his life, his whole life, the last part could be summed up in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, 29-31, 3 or 4 verses. Nothing much. All the years of his life towards the end were lost years. Years that the locusts had eaten. Gone. Because he was unfaithful to God. For the current year of the monkey forest, let us avoid multiplying horses. Why do people go to horses? Because they trust in horses in their strength, and they trust in the chariots in their number. And therefore, they go for horses and chariots. Psalm 27 and Isaiah 31:1. Wives, let us be careful how we choose our wives. When we choose our wives from unbelievers, we are going to get into deep trouble. So, let us not multiply wives. Wealth, let us be careful to lay up for ourselves treasures, not on earth, but in heaven. The challenge is, when we leave this place, who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? So, conclusion, multiply monkeys but not horses. Go not to Egypt for horses, but go to Tarshish for monkeys. A blessed and fruitful year of the monkey to all, with prayers for many to go out to Tarshish and bring back many live monkeys or lost sinners, that our assembly here may increase in numbers, to be presented to and for the worship of the King this year and the years to follow. I take this opportunity and my wife to wish all the Chinese brethren here a belated, blessed, bountiful, fruitful and prosperous Chinese New Year. May the Lord bless you all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend together remembering the Lord, how he was made man, and then he was made to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. for all that he was made a sin offering for us. We thank you for what he did for us, and we do pray that even we now, as we have listened to the study of the monkey, may go out to search for lost sinners, so that they may be added unto the church. Lord, bless this assembly, we do pray. Bless the elders, bless the deacons, bless all other members in this assembly, that each may have the may feel the responsibility to go out and search for lost sinners, to fulfill the very commission of the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to his disciples. So Lord, bless and multiply the assembly members in this assembly, we do pray, that in unity and in harmony, all may go out in one mission, just to win precious souls unto thyself. We ask these things, Lord, give me the thanks for the blessing upon us this past year and the year to come. In Christ's precious name. Amen.